Greetings, Apropostors, and welcome to the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna. You could pick that up a bit, James. You can, you know.
Yeah.
There was just that empty space.
Be more on top of that. We're always waiting
for James a little bit, so it's kind of on green.
If I was more on top of things, what I was once told during an employee review is that you are a 3, not a 4. If you were a 4, you would already have been hired by another company.
Wow.
So my mediocrity is good for you? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what I'm saying. That's why I'm here.
Huh. No, with the lag, James, by the time you get around to actually responding to me, it's a lot of dead space.
Huh. I thought I was, like, right on top of it.
No.
All right.
No. Okay. And maybe it is just, like, lag from Salsa to James, and then James back to Salsa.
Yeah, but I feel like the rest of the conversation
that
we
have... The internet may have nothing to do with that.
I feel like the rest of the conversations that we have... go pretty, like, fairly natural banter. It's just that one moment in time.
But I think we also naturally talk on top of each other.
Oh, that's a good point.
Mm.
So, yeah, when James is actually waiting for a cue and being a good co-host, he might actually be not talking on top of you, and therefore, leg.
So what we're saying
is... Do you need me to be a work co-host?
What we're saying is your good habits are bad and your bad habits are good, James.
Yeah, that seems about right. That's the shape of life recently, isn't it?
I need a bitch for a second before we continue,
okay.
Gentlemen. Because while we're talking about talking on top of people, I was in a work meeting, and there was a person that continually talked on top of the other two. There were three of us. And so one person is consistently talking on top of the other two. This person is female and was just like plowing straight through. Now, as a woman, I get it. Cause if you are a woman in any kind of position of leadership, if you want to be heard and if you want to get your point across, you do have to kind of talk on top of, the other people in the meeting or your podcast co-hosts or whatever. Right? Like that's just a thing. But she just kept like on top of everything the both of us were saying and, like negating points that weren't even like fully state. Like she ran over everybody else, but didn't give us the opportunity to have our bit either. And so it was very frustrating and we finished with that. Right. And I was like, okay, like I get where it comes from. I'm not going to be cranky about it. What's the actual thing that needs to be accomplished? And the other person from that meeting was like, hey, can I vent for a second? I'm like, sure, go for it. And he was like, did she seem to just kind of be like talking straight over us the entire time? And I was like, yeah, I mean, that's a little bit. Yeah. Like she kind of just ran over us. He's like, why do women do that? Ooh. And I was
oh, God damn it.
Mop.
Oh, buddy.
Nope.
Oh, buddy. So 10 minutes later, after I very professionally and calmly explained to him the difficulties of being female in the workplace, and specifically at a place of leadership, he was like, oh, okay, so was that... Like, she still should have, like, let us talk, though, right? I'm like, oh, no, you're totally right. Like, she wasn't giving back either. You just asked why women in the workplace do this, and you opened a can you didn't even know existed.
You should have known it existed, but you didn't.
The label, which once read whoop-ass.
I mean, here's the thing. Is that like an older guy that's been in leadership, old white guy, been in leadership forever, right? And you're like, well, you should know these things. And it would be great if you did. But if he's only now being exposed to more women in leadership positions because of the progress that we've been making, how would he? You know what I mean? Like, I try to have a certain amount of, like, I don't try to be like, you should know better. Because there's a lot of people up there in the attic crawl space that just have been isolated and don't. They don't know better. Which is one of the frustrating things about trying to break glass ceilings and get in there and have more women in leadership positions is that you are constantly teaching. You are constantly teaching because the people that you think should know don't, because they haven't been exposed to it, because they've been in their little bubble. Take this and apply it to Black Lives Matter, LGBT issues, abilities.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Specifically. Oh my God, yes. Yeah, all these things. We're like, it's out there. People keep talking about it. You should know. Except that you, in your little privilege bubble, you don't. That's what it is. That's why the biggest focus is, hey, poke your head outside of your bubble and maybe learn a thing or two, right? Anyway, yeah. But yeah, that was a thing that happened in my workplace today.
Go on vacation to a place that isn't an exact duplicate of the place you are already living.
Hey, Jenna.
Yes.
Do you want to lead us in the drinks this week?
I'm drinking my last virgin toddy of the month.
Ooh.
Oh yeah. This one is, and this one I've been saving and looking forward to.
Oh.
It is because you know I've been kind of just going through teas that I haven't had or don't remember ever having had or anything like that. So I had one packet left of this, and it is Bigelow brand vanilla almond.
Oh.
I believe it's a black tea. Let me read the back to you. Yeah, it's a black tea. Too busy to stop? Never. Relax and enchant your taste buds with a rich cup of Bigelow vanilla almond tea. And because it has the added benefit of healthy antioxidants, it's good for both body and soul. Take a sip, lean back, and enjoy.
Enjoy.
So yeah. I think this is older, like way older. Because I don't remember ever buying this. But I'm gonna take a sip now.
Do that thing.
I mean, it's good. I think this is one of the rare teas I would actually like to have cream with it.
Okay.
I think, could see that being really good.
Yeah, like this is one of the rare teas, and instead of honey, maybe like actual like sugar in the raw, I think would work better for this.
Sure.
But yeah, it's good. Don't get me wrong, it's good. I'm just like, I would have decorated it different, I think, if I knew more of what it was. But, yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay.
Nice.
James?
I am drinking a different sake, one that I chose entirely based on the label. It is... this beautiful blue color with little koi fish.
Ooh. Are you being koi with us, James?
This is Night Swim by Tozai, a Japanese craft sake, imported by Tozai in Sausalito, California. Jump in. Tropical stone fruit aromas. Medium body, clean finish. Swimsuit optional. # night swim. Brewed in Kyoto, Japan. Gluten-free. 14% alcohol. Now I'm drinking this chilled.
Okay. Good call.
Yeah, I don't think that would be good warm, but it's...
What flavor does it have? What does it
If I'm gonna say what the flavor is, instead of this stone fruit aromas, I mean, it's not entirely wrong about it being sort of peach-like.
Okay.
But I would say the flavor predominantly is sort of like weirdly creamy caramel with a little bit of like apple or peach to it.
Okay.
I mean, it still tastes like sake. It's rice wine, but it...
So it's a caramel apple sake.
Yeah, but if I had to identify the subtle tasting notes of the flavors,
yes.
I would say that's what you've got. You've got kind of a creamy caramel with sort of a slightly acidic fruit bite to it.
Okay.
So, but it's tasty. I think I would drink it again. It was not expensive.
Okay.
So, yeah. And the can is real cute.
Aww.
It does look adorable. Is it tiny? It looks tiny.
It's pretty tiny, yeah. Pretty tiny. So this is a regular size can. This is the size of my hand, right?
Okay. Yep.
And then this is the little can, which just disappears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What are you drinking, Salsa?
I am drinking the Irishman malt whiskey, 12-year.
I think you better pet him first. Oh,
nope.
Oh.
Nope.
Whiskey.
He doesn't deserve
okay.
it.
Wow.
That's fair.
Rude.
You know, he knows what he did.
God.
Nice.
Anything specific to say about that? Salsa?
It's booze.
Yeah, all right. There you go.
Huh. That is a quality that I look for in many of my various and sundry liqueurs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right up there, yeah.
It's a fine quality critic to have.
This last weekend, I did all the hockey.
Every hockey.
All of the hockey.
How much hockey? Some of the hockey?
So goddamn much. I was in the Richfield Ice Arena 3 times in 2 days. I was in the Parade Ice Arena 2x in 1 day.
Mm-hmm.
Much hockey happened. So, on Friday, there was a Magicians game that I worked.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in the Richfield Ice Arena for that. On Saturday morning, my daughter had hockey practice at the Richfield Ice Arena. So, so I was there again in the morning. And then that evening was another Magicians game, so I was back in the arena for the third time. And then on Sunday, my daughter had hockey practice at Parade, which is near the Sculpture Gardens.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And later that afternoon, so part of the program that my daughter is in is, you know, it's got a cost associated with it, but that cost can be mitigated by volunteer hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the organization is volunteer run.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you sign up, you pay X amount of dollars, but you also sign up to do X number of hours of volunteer work for the organization. And if you do not meet those hours, like let's say you have to do 5 hours and you do 4.5, that it's not like a cumulative, you know, like well, you did most of it. It's just like, did you do it or not? And mm-hmm. if you did not hit it, then at the end of the season, then they charge you the remainder of what would have been your charge.
They send some hockey players.
No, they just send you a bill.
Oh,
So I've got to do
Bill a hockey player
with the age group my daughter's in. I've got to do 5 volunteer hours this
okay.
year, and I haven't done any yet because those things fill up so fast. Like seriously, sure. There's been a couple times where they've sent the email out saying we need volunteers, and by the time I respond to the email, those spots are already filled. So they go really fast.
Shoot.
Well, yeah. There's all the adults in the program trying to fill their hours, you know.
Well, yeah,
and not get the
well,
shitty and not get the shitty jobs. so I got some volunteer hours for that. I did the it was great because I did the scorekeeper for one of huh. for the 10 and under game.
Do you have any experience with
that? Yeah, I was. Exactly. When that popped up, I was like, "Well, this should be easy." So I like I said, I brought my daughter to hockey at parade in the morning, and then that afternoon, I was back there to work this event.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, so what it was is there was supposed to be 2 of us in the box, right?
Okay.
One of us ran the home team's penalty box, music, and the score sheet. And the other one of us ran the visiting team's penalty box, the scoreboard, and the announcer duties. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when I get there, I find out that the iPad that they usually give people every year to run music, they because of everything going on, they don't have those this year. So they're like, if you want to play music, you can plug in your phone, but otherwise we don't have anything. So I plugged in my phone and found something to you know, Pandora, and whenever a commercial came on, I just muted it. But it, you know, so just between games. But so we kind of had a very basic instruction, like 15 minutes mm-hmm. of this is how you do things, good luck. Which, considering what I've been doing, you know, with the magicians, was like, okay, I kind of already know what I'm doing, basically, you know, and so I could kind of listen to the other guy's training as well on how to run the scoreboard. And granted, the scoreboard is not easy to use, it's kind of not intuitive. Like, in order to set times, like, you have to hit the set time button and then, like, type in the time, but there's also tenths of a second that you have to type in that if you're not ready for, and then you have to hit another button to, like, make it actually go up on the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
And if you forget to do that step, then it doesn't work. And then, like, there's another thing where you have to, for penalties, for example, you have to hit, like, a different set button. And it's a different set button depending on if it's the home team or the away team. And then you, like, have to hit the set button and then type in the player number. And then you hit, like, the advance button and then type in how long they have a penalty for and then hit another button. And there's a way to, like, disengage the penalty clock from the regular clock. So, like, for example, if a penalty starts at the end of the first period, you know, the remaining time needs to just start in the second period there. But they don't want that, and they want to put like 15 minutes up for break, but they don't want the penalty clock to move, so they can like disengage the penalty clock from the regular clock. But sure, you need to remember. But you need to remember to re-engage that, otherwise it doesn't do anything, you know? So there's a lot of weird things kind of happening with this that are not, like, I get it. They're kind of complicated, and neither one of us had ever really touched it.
Yeah.
But the other guy I was with really wasn't getting it.
Aww.
Like, and so, like, the whole time we were there, we did 2 games. We did the third place game and the first place game for the tournament. For the 10 and under tournament, and the whole time, like, both games, he kept, like, leaning over to me and was like, so what do I push now? I was just like, and at the beginning I was kind of like, do you want to do the announcing too? And he was like, I don't really feel comfortable with that. And I was like, okay, I'll do that too. So it really kind of became me doing it really was. It was just like, I'm the guy, I'm the booth, and I happen to have him pushing buttons every so often.
He is the group squad.
And even then, it was like, he was supposed to turn the clock on when they dropped the puck and off when they blew the whistle, obviously. But, like, he kept taking his hand off the button.
No.
Which I don't know why, and every time a whistle would happen, he'd, like, have to, like, find the button and push
it. Scramble for the right button?
Yeah, it was just like, just leave your hand resting on the button. Just have it sitting
there. He might have been... Like, with that, I probably would have been afraid that an involuntary muscular twitch or something like that I would ding the button without meaning to.
Like,
I mean, that's easily fixed.
Next to the button or whatever, not just flapping around off to the side.
Yeah, don't put your hand like in your lap. Just put your hand right there so that as soon as the whistle happens, you can react. And I also wonder if there may have been, and this is possible, but there may have been like a hearing problem or something like that, because he kept having to ask me, was that a whistle? You know?
Okay.
Was that a whistle? And I was like, so by the end, I basically was every time a whistle blew, I would like hold my hand up or something to, yes, that was a whistle. So it was just one more thing that I needed to focus on while I'm trying to do everything else, including handling his penalty box. Because he was still trying to figure out how to use the clock, and it was
Wow.
Are you telling me, Salsa, that you handled a stranger's penalty box?
Yes.
Okay, I was just checking.
Just once.
I mean, not a complete stranger. Hey, you're not even really a stranger after you've done that.
Right. Okay.
But anyway, no, it was just kind of like, I mean, at the end of the day, it wasn't that big a deal. But it was just kind of like, this is way more work than I was expecting to do.
Oh, yeah.
Right here.
Turns out I'm leading this group project. Oh. Okay.
Including being handed the walkie-talkie for the medic in case, you know, anything happened.
Christ.
Because we had one medic for both rinks, you know.
Sure.
And we did at one point have to call her. Everything was fine. Just pretty heavy collision, and they came and checked her out, and she was fine. But
you know,
we were all baby teeth anyway.
But it was still like, well, this is another responsibility that I have. But anyway, it was honestly fun. It was my debut as a hockey announcer, announcing the goals.
And
would honestly have loved to have heard this.
It was a lot of fun. And here's another
hockey's
thing.
And hockos. It's time for some hockey.
So
I was gonna say, Salsa, do you remember when you were learning how to swallow swords and you just kept sending me random pictures of you?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I wonder what Salsa said. Warning. Give me a content warning. I want the opposite of that with you doing announcing. Like, I want to be surprised by a video or an audio clip of you doing hockey announcing for kids under 10. That sounds way more adorable. And I can support that new endeavor way easier and with less gagging than I could the sword swallowing.
Why do you think he's keeping it to himself?
So,
look. Him showing you sword swallowing videos was never about your comfort.
I know. I am aware.
So
anyway, yes.
One of the things they had told us is if either coach announces a timeout, that it's a 1 minute timeout, and if we wanted to, we could put a minute up on the board and count it down that way. But would probably just be easier is count a minute out on our watches and then hit the buzzer button.
Sure.
So we have our first timeout in the first game, and my guy is really excited. He's like, okay, and he like goes to the scoreboard and he types in a minute and he gets it going and he starts timing down, and I look at him and I go, okay, did you write down how much time was left in the period? And he goes, shit. Yeah, he was so excited about taking care of that mm-hmm. thing that he, yeah, and so he was like, so he's like, I don't know, it was like 2:45 or something like that. We'll go with 2:45. We'll do 2:45. So a minute gets up.
It's me, but in hockey form.
We come back to the game. He puts in 2:45. Game starts. The game starts, and as soon as time starts, the coach for the you know visiting team immediately looks at us. He's like, "It's supposed to be 1:50. It's supposed to be 1:50." And then, so the referee stops the game and like is like put 1:51 on the clock and was like, okay. Mm-hmm. Kind of very sheepishly typing in 1:51 on the board so that we can have the correct amount of time on the board. It's like, oh, honey bun, you like he seems like a really nice guy, but he was clearly out of his element.
Yeah.
I felt bad for him. I really honestly did.
I get that.
Like, this dude manages a restaurant, right? This dude is an absolutely dynamite sous chef. 100% yeah. Cannot grasp the scoreboard.
This is not his. I said at the beginning, they didn't give us a music iPad or anything. They were like, if you want to use your own music. So I have Pandora, and I start playing... just on my classic rock station, you know, and we're listening to like mm-hmm. Zeppelin. And I want to, and so like the song gets done and the next song comes up and it's Fat Bottom Girls by Queen.
Oh.
And this is, I remind you, the 10U girls tournament. So like the song started, it was like, oh, you won. And I was like, next song, yep. Next song,
nope.
Next song, next song.
I would never. Whew. You are so much braver than I am to allow an algorithm to choose the next song, because I know. I at a party,
well, and I mean that's why I was. That's why
music,
I was able.
My personal library hooked up. I would not trust it to choose the next song because who knows. Who knows what fucking catastrophe would come up?
I was using Pandora, so I was already kind of like on it because in case a commercial came up, I wanted to mute it. So a commercial wasn't blasting over the head, you know, so I was already there. But so when that started, I was able to react quickly. But yeah, it was just like, this is an 8U girls tournament. No, but next song.
Nope.
Next song. So anyway, that's what I did. All the hockey. Somebody else talk, for the love of God.
I got a ticket.
I know! I'm so sorry!
You were parked on the wrong side?
Here's my story. I come back from spending the weekend at Joe's, and it was lovely. It was lovely! I come back home and I'm like, okay, so there is emergency parking tonight and day one parking tomorrow. So I need to park in a day two location, which is the west side or the east side of the road. Like some people do even odd. For me, it's easier to think in east west, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I need to park on the east side of the road so that tonight and tomorrow I'm fine. And then after work, I can go move my car and then I'll be fine for the next day. Okay. Right? That was my plan.
Sure.
So the place that I normally park on the east side of the road for this grand master plan that I have of car moving laziness, was full by the time I got there. And I was like, oh, well, that's unfortunate. So I'll just go to the next road. Mm-hmm. Turns out that the next road over was a one-way And due to whatever ridiculous rules, I guess maybe it was an emergency route as well, and I just didn't see signs. It made no sense because the most residential road ever to exist in a residential area.
Yeah.
But yeah, I went to thinking I was smart. I parked there, and then when I went to go move my car, there was a ticket tucked under the wiper, and I'm like,
"The fuck!"
And here's damn the it thing: is that in my mind, I'm like, "Oh, I still need to change my tabs. They are definitely overdue. I bet that's what it's for." And I've been expecting this, like,
mm-hmm.
it's been overdue for a while. Try to get in somewhere to change your tabs, and that's not happening. Yeah. But they've been overdue, and I'm just like, I'll get something scheduled after I get my tax return so that I can pay the back portion and deal with all of that. Mm-hmm. Well, so yeah, I just walk up and I'm like, oh, that's probably for my tabs. I knew that was a possibility. I'm just going to take this and move my car to my new safe spot. Nope. I was parked on an emergency road. I was parked in the wrong spot at the wrong time, thinking that I had outsmarted everything and parked in the right spot at the right time. So I don't know how much this ticket is because this is, I don't know.
Yeah, you actually have to like log into the website and type it in to find out what you even owe. It's weird.
Yeah, and the way that the paper broke up, like, I could barely figure out what it was that I was getting an emergency for anyway, or getting a ticket for anyway. The part that says snow emergency parking restrictions, which is the violation name, mm-hmm. is right on the edge of the second piece of paper. Mm. And then it's like, ah! So it took me forever to even figure out what it was that I was getting ticketed for in the first place.
Huh.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if you guys know how much it's going to cost me. But
$350.
$350?
Probably not.
Like $350?
No, $3.50. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing. This is a ballpark.
Oh. Okay.
Roughly $350.
Okay. So you were born in the 1940s, got it.
I mean, give or take $200.
This makes sense of so many things about salsa.
It kind of does.
So many things.
Also, James, you're completely frozen. I can hear you fine, but you are completely frozen. So I don't know if you're, like, flipping us off or...
I might take this opportunity to do so.
I mean, you should. Is it?
I probably still won't.
Okay.
It seems like a James thing to not do.
Right. It's like to be fair, like I don't need the excuse.
To be fair.
Off.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, we knew that.
Yeah.
I should be able to fix that pretty quickly.
I mean, it doesn't matter. We can still hear you. So.
Yeah, we can still
good.
Hear
well,
you.
I mean, there's
don't
that.
Fuck with it. You might break the whole system.
Unless
I
you
probably
want us to
will.
Take a break.
I just want you to know we can't see what you're doing.
Yeah, we could take a break while I fix that. Because I also have my own story to tell, and yeah, we know how that goes.
I don't know if it's break time, but sure, why not? Whatever.
We'll take a break, and then we'll be back and let James fix his shit. And then he'll thank talk
you
about things. I suppose
you're
we'll
welcome.
Let him talk.
Aww.
All right, we'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
This also means to say that he's made his peace with it.
No, I think Salsa said what he wanted to say. I've made my peace with the fact that Salsa did not say he's made his peace with it.
And I wanted to say, we're back. I'm Salsa.
James.
And I'm Jenna.
Nice.
And I also want to say, right, we're going to let James say what he wanted to say.
Yeah.
Wait, we are?
I mean...
I know. Over the break, dear listeners, I cautioned them that this might be a complete and utter, like,
don't
catastrophe.
Peel back the curtain.
Oh, what I meant to say is, I was having a discussion with somebody about eggs, like making perfect eggs, and I was supposed to be working, so of course my brain wanted to do anything but that, and so she said, it always feels like a surprise until you cut into the yolk and see how it's cooked. And then I said, and then confetti blasts out of the ceiling and you have to run outside to protect your perfect eggs, but you're still wearing your pajamas. Your keys are inside. You find a stranger willing to let you borrow their phone, but whose number do you know? This is when boomers tell you that when I was your age, I had everyone's number memorized and milk was only 37 cents a gallon. And you respond, well, when you were my age, phone numbers were only 4 digits and I'd remember them too if I had to dial the same numbers every day in Morse code to keep from being eaten by a dinosaur. And I'm still in the generation that didn't have automatic number dialing. So fuck off, you caustic stranger. That's when you realize whose number you know. Yours. You call your own phone 5 times, leaving weirder and increasingly surreal voicemails. If you have to listen to them later, they might as well be fun, right? But that last time, you thought you got the voicemail and started launching into a diatribe about space cheesesteaks falling like meteors. The voicemail clears its throat. You were talking to your partner. He reminded you that the door doesn't lock behind you and you can come back at any time. You walk in barefooted back into the apartment and enjoy your egg until you cut into the second one and the confetti starts again. Right.
I see. Okay.
This is, occasionally in my brain, I just compose these things, something gothic. In this case, perfect egg gothic.
What? Stop.
Wait, stop.
Okay.
I have a question.
Okay. All right.
Can I borrow your drugs?
Yes.
I almost spit out my tea.
Yeah.
Because there are a few party games that I think would be amazing with whatever you're on.
It's ibuprofen. It's available over the counter.
You be something. That's what I know.
I was pushing cars today. This is a fictional thing. So I checked the app at about 9 a.m. to see, because I look at the, after getting 3 tickets in a month and a half in front of place.
The app.
The Minneapolis Snow Emergency app.
Okay.
It gives you a map of which side of the street is okay for which day and that kind of stuff. It's quite handy. Locates you, pinpoints you on the map. I had gotten those 3 tickets in front of Jenna's place and just decided that fuck it, that's never going to happen again. Downloaded the app. And then now it comes in handy because Bryn is parked out front of the apartment.
Right.
So I checked it today at 9 a.m. and it said at 8 a.m. it switched to day 2, which meant she was parked on the incorrect side. And she had been parked there for a few days and it had snowed a few times. So I went out there to start her car and move it. I sent her a message being like, emergency, we have to move your car. I went to start her car. It did not start. Right. Her car is dead. So I go grab my car, which is parked in the lot nearby, to move it in front of her car, charge it using the cables that I have.
Right.
And I get my car stuck. It's a very tiny car. It's an extremely tiny car. It is stuck far enough away that the cables will not reach. So,
oh my God.
I then try to push my car out three or four times. A stranger helpfully notifies me that if you turn the wheels straight, that it will help. And I said, no, kind stranger, in front of me is a tree and a sign, so I don't think I want to be in the tree and the sign, so I don't think that's where I want traction. After pushing it several times and not quite getting it out of the ruts, Bryn appears, and she pushes it while I try to drive it, and then we swap, and I shoulder it out of the ruts while she's backing it up, and I drive the car in successfully so that it is both clear of traffic and also close enough to hers. We charge her car starts, let it run for a while. She has to go back inside. I have disconnected the cables, and I go to move my car away, but it's stuck again. This time less badly. Yes, Salsa.
What does this have to do with eggs?
Hang on.
Is this story going to be 20 minutes long?
It's not supposed to be. All right.
Okay.
So,
are we getting there?
Yeah,
we getting there, James?
I shove the car out by myself. I drive it back into the lot, park it. I go and scrape off her car, get into it. Her car is stuck. So then I, again, by myself, get her car free and park it on the correct side of the street. I let it run for another 15 minutes. I shut it off. I come back inside. I cut into my other egg, and the confetti starts again.
Okay. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. There it is. I get it.
So.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
But that's a true story with a dumb punchline from a different.
Okay. So, as a comedian, I would have ignored Salsa completely if I had known that was what was coming up. Because the interruption asking about the egg, I think, actually deterred from the punchline to the joke.
It absolutely did. Had I known, I wouldn't have asked. I do apologize.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, you didn't know, so that's fair. I think James, if you tell this again, I don't think you should tell it again. But if you do... I would definitely hold off questions until the end.
Sure.
Like, I acknowledge your question, wait till the end.
Salsa could cut this segment and his question out so that the listeners get the best experience. But we all know that's not going to happen.
Salsa, how many times have we edited this podcast in the past 11 years?
Three? I want to say three or four times.
Yeah, three sounds right.
Three or four times. Yep. Mostly to protect minors.
Legal issues.
And
legal issues. Yep.
There was a lawsuit in one of them that we needed to not mention.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, James, I might sue you over this joke.
Oh.
But in that
then
case,
this will be evidence.
This will be evidence. So we're not going to edit this. Debating.
It would be highly illegal for me to destroy evidence. So.
Yeah. So we can't. We can't edit
that's
this.
Fair. That's tough, but fair. But that's what I've been up to.
Yeah.
Dear God.
I saw a Salsa. Briefly.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention this earlier, but yeah, I saw Salsa briefly. I went to, I believe we actually planned this on the podcast or maybe in between breaks, but I finally delivered that plywood from a couple weeks ago. And Salsa wasn't there because apparently hockey.
I was at hockey
thing, apparently he just lives at the ice arena now. But I didn't drop it off at the ice arena and left it at his house like a fucking moron is beyond me. But Anyway, yeah, so I dropped off the plywood, and I was rearranging some stuff to try to get his seat clear so that, you know, I'd be able to do whatever.
Sure.
And then Salsa's wife and children come home. And I was like, oh, hey, we're all outside. I'm going to stand 10 feet away from you guys because I'm not wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. But hey, guys.
Because they were they were sledding, I think, across the street, weren't they?
Yep, they had been sledding. And I think the kid, your kids, Salsa, I'm not sure they remember me very well. I mean, was a little sad.
It's been a fifth of my son's life since you've been to my house.
I know, and he doesn't remember the first couple of years of that.
Yeah,
like,
so.
I'm mm-hmm. literally just damn near a figment of his imagination. But like, yeah, like, so Asher didn't remember me, and I think Lilibeth remembered me, but she was cranky for other reasons and was just like, yeah, I'm going, screw you guys. Raider Ely and I had a lovely conversation, but, yeah. And then I was like, okay, well, I gotta get going because I've got other stuff I need to get done today. Sure. And I pull out of the driveway and I turn, at the corner at the end of the block. And then I see a little car with a guy with a hat with a feather sticking out of it. And I was like, oh,
weird guy.
Wow. Well, there's Salsa. All right. He still exists. And I just keep driving because what are you going to do?
Yeah. Nothing.
But yeah, I was like, huh, if I had hung out for just like two more minutes, I could have still been blocking the driveway and preventing Salsa from getting home.
Ooh. So
that would have been worth it.
You got lucky is what you're saying.
You got lucky.
That I didn't have to talk to you or you didn't have to talk to me?
You got
if
lucky.
If Jenna could swap places with you and just be married to your wife and have you live alone,
I think everybody would be happy.
She would do it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be married to Salsa's wife because we're like sister friends, right? Like
that
we grew up together. Being married would be a little weird, but I would definitely be sister friend, child raising partner with her.
But
that'd be great.
That means I'd be able to date Joe.
Ooh.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You want,
well, there's that.
You want that barbecue. You
damn
want that
right
southern
I
barbecue.
Do.
Fuck it. Who doesn't?
I want.
Right.
I'm sorry. A man who barbecues and respects you. I'm all for that.
Also, it's a clean house.
Yeah.
Jeez.
He does laundry. He's like, he changes his sheets like weekly, which apparently is what you're supposed to be doing. But I don't know of anybody that really keeps on top of it that much.
Speaking of sheets.
I mean,
sorry.
Yeah?
Sorry. I got really excited for a second.
Oh my god, sheets! Oh god, did you finally get those t-shirt flannel ones, Salsa?
No, even Ooh. Better.
What?
My son, for Christmas, he got dinosaur sheets.
And oh man, that's best life.
I know, right? He got dinosaur, because he wanted a dinosaur pillow for Christmas. One of the things he specifically asked for was a dinosaur pillow.
Yeah.
So we got him a dinosaur pillow, but we also got him dinosaur sheets for his bed. Anyway, he put the dinosaur sheets on his bed, and we were talking about him, and I was just like, I'm actually kind of jealous of his dinosaur sheets. Because, you know, they don't really make adult dinosaur sheets. They don't make cool sheets for adults, you know? It's like, kids get the cool, but adults get, like, geometric colors and, you know, flowers and shit like that. And I was just like, I want dinosaur sheets. And a couple weeks ago, my wife showed up with a box from Amazon, and it was dinosaur sheets.
Oh,
queen size dinosaur sheets.
The sweetest.
Oh, your wife is the best.
I know she really, really is, but so I now have dinosaur sheets on my bed.
That's fucking cool.
It is so good.
That's awesome.
They're so cute. I love them.
I need dinosaur
sheets.
Hey,
but you gotta change them every week, Salsa.
Yeah.
Especially with the nighttime problem you've been having. Okay.
Nope. I don't want to think about that. Okay.
What other... So here's a question.
There are no good answers to what that nighttime problem could be. There are no answers that I want to hear that fit that context.
Insomnia?
Nope.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Oh, okay. Well...
So what other awkward. What other quote-unquote childhood things would you want as an adult?
Oh,
I've been buying a lot of it. I got to tell you.
Yeah, the great thing about being an adult.
One
of my favorite wedding presents was a Rock'em Sock'em robot. I don't know who got that for us, but they knew who they were buying for.
Spencer and Stacy, our friends Spencer and Stacy, their wedding present is still in our car.
Is it Rock'em Sock'em Robots?
No,
I feel like we've done that before.
It's another board game that we get, because that's what my wife and I do. We say. You know, fuck their registry. We buy board games for our friends when they get married. But for some reason, Spencer and Stacy's wedding, like, we hadn't got it yet, or we forgot it in the car, and that was what 3 years ago.
I was about to say, yeah, like 2.5 years ago,
something like that. It's still in our car.
Oh wow.
Was it 2018 or 2019? It was the summer. It was the summer of 2019, maybe?
I think I want to say 2018 or 2019, but I can't. Either way, it's been in our car for way too fucking long.
Yeah. No, it's been in your car since before the pandemic was a blink in our eye.
Yeah.
God, I'm trying to think what childhood thing would I want. I know I want to make myself a little like terrarium garden thing.
Oh, cool.
Have like not really a dollhouse, but like, you know, kind of set up a little.
Oh, yeah.
I do want a house, but it might be more of a miniature than a dollhouse. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Vague differences, but.
Mm-hmm.
A miniature house would. Like, you could set a scene, but, like, you can't really put dolls in it, right?
Yeah. The difference is whether or not you have dolls, basically.
Yes. but, yeah. So, like, you know, doing things like, I've thought about, you know, making a little landscapey thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a bit, but... Again, like, if there's something, like, little kiddish that I want, I just get it, because I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I have nothing to prove. I have successfully raised a human being into adulthood. At this point, fuck it, man.
True. I mean, I know that onesies have really made a big comeback in the past, you know, while. And so, like, a lot of people have onesies already.
I do have the red panda Kigurumi.
Nice.
I also have a red panda hooded sweatshirt.
I tried to convince my wife to get me a race car bed after she got the dinosaur sheets, but she didn't go for that.
No.
No, I can't imagine that there would be one that would be extremely supportive of your backs, which you know, that might be the more important thing.
I don't know. Race car bed or back support? Race car bed or back support?
Yeah. You only live once.
Tough call. That's true.
God, no, I suppose I do have the Kigurumis. I mean, I've got a bunch of circus stuff that some people might think of as like toy stuff.
Oh.
Like, I have a unicycle.
That's
at least like immature, if not outright toy or child, right?
I don't know. If you've ever been to like the IJA events or the Mondo, then you'll know that unicycle is very much you know, it can be a very sophisticated thing.
Oh.
So.
Oh, I know. I'm talking like general conception.
Right.
That's what I mean. Like, a lot of people are like, unicycle, well, that's just kid stuff, clowning around, not serious, whatever. Unicycle.
It's not what you would ride to work in most cases, unless your work involves a unicycle.
Did you ever see the guy, James? Did you ever see the guy when we worked at the last space that we worked together that would go unicycling up and down River Road there?
No, I don't think I did.
Every so often, you'd catch him. If I left work at the right time, I would see a guy unicycling along the River Road there.
Aww.
That sounds pretty good. I know that the Twin Cities have a unicycle club. I know that people are very enthusiastic, and it is super cool. I saw people at Mondo just doing laps on unicycles, and it made me want to unicycle. But on the opposite side of things, fuck trying to do that in Minneapolis. Being on a bike, which is more than twice the size, is already a death wish.
I live right across the street from the lakes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I can actually just literally take my unicycle across the street and be on bike paths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that'll serve well for me. But yeah, if I didn't have that, like if I was trying to unicycle on Minneapolis streets,
Oh yeah, no, that would be okay.
I would walk.
Yeah,
okay, you are
so
correct.
Unicycle, we'll accept unicycle, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I do miss from childhood though?
What's that?
In gym class, the giant parachute thing.
Oh, whoa, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And in fact, I think maybe if there was a thing that I was going to get, obviously I don't have a yard, so I don't have space for it, but like a giant ass trampoline, that's still.
Big trampolines are, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, a wiffle ball.
Like, ooh.
When was the last time you touched a wiffle ball?
Oh, God.
It's been a very long time.
Yeah.
What I ended up doing that taught me to throw and catch, my mom played catch with me, and we used those Velcro paddles.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. That was great. That was perfect for hand-eye coordination. Mm. That was one of the things that reinforced that I was left-handed.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. Because the hand printed on the back didn't match the hand that I was putting it on.
I see.
And that was, I was like, is this wrong? Am I doing this wrong? Yeah.
In your case, the answer probably is yes. Yeah.
Yeah. But also, those people are jerks. So.
True.
That. Salsa? What things you?
We've already brought up the sheets.
Yeah. But like for yourself, what would you get?
Dinosaur sheets.
Oh, okay. And the race car bed, if you could.
Clearly.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. All right.
I think this is
enough.
I didn't have a race car bed growing up, so now I
didn't
want.
Either.
Now I won't.
Yeah. No. So I've been hitting the, as a form of therapy, I've been hitting the, in addition to the loads of other therapy that I'm going through, I've been hitting the American Science and Surplus catalog real hard. So,
you've mentioned a few times. Yeah.
Yeah. I got, these bricks that use induction. You place a phone on it with the speaker turned low. It picks up the speaker and then it broadcasts it at a higher volume, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't use Bluetooth. It doesn't use cables.
Uses,
it just picks up the speaker and then the induction is amplified. Yeah, it's so amazing. And then as a result, when Bryn and I were talking about it, she's like, I may not, like, you've done a lot more science stuff than I have, so tell me about induction. And I had to start back at, like, okay, this is how a motor works. Right. And she's like, do they have a kit? Like, so I've bought a kit to build. She and I are going to build a motor together. And then there are a couple of other things. A light that looks like the moon I got from there. And it can change color. I'm very excited about this. I've procured one of those angle things that you push against, like, door frames and that kind of stuff, and you can take it away and it gives you the exact, like, measurement of the curvature and the cutout for it.
Yeah, I want one of those.
It's a set of two. They're awesome.
Yeah, I could have used that when I was putting in our floor.
Yeah, that is exactly what it's for.
Yep.
Really. And since I know that at some point, like, I don't have a project for it right now, but I know there's going to be a shelf, there's going to be a piece of furniture, there's going to be something. I'm going to need it. Yep. Yeah. So that, and then a bunch of markers and fun art stuff.
Okay.
And just like play things. I'm still waiting for them to get the toy train, the battery operated toy train that comes in a little Altoids tin. Because I have a tiny Christmas tree. It's going around that.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Nice.
So all of that stuff. Cause I used to read the American Science and Surplus catalog and just like salivate over the lab equipment, the circuits, everything else. It just seems like so much fun. And I realized that as long as I budget it carefully, I can do that now.
Mm-hmm. You're an adult.
Right.
I can do that. Which is so fucking exciting for me. Yeah. So I've been buying science toys, and cool. Have they
blinded you? Have you been blinded by science toys?
Not yet.
Okay.
I tend to try to wear safety equipment around my science to avoid potential blindings.
Okay.
But that's a good question. Yeah.
I mean, I just have had the song going through my head since you said American Science, so I thought I'd ask.
Well, because the catalog I got into, because it's got fun hand-drawn pictures and it's full of dad jokes.
Yeah. Okay, so American Surplus, Science Surplus, or Axeman. Mm-hmm.
They are related. They are cousins.
Are they?
Yes.
Interesting.
Because I was like, yeah, your little signs, they remind me of American Science and Surplus, and the dude at the counter, this was a year or so, more than a year or so back, he was like, yeah, there's a reason. I was like, yeah, I just saw these little shark with a leg in its mouth that you squeeze and the leg pops out, right? I saw these in American Science and Surplus. He's like, yeah, we swap stuff with them all the time. Like, our companies are friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aw, they're buddies.
They hang out together.
The benefits.
Ooh.
The benefits being swapping.
Yeah, surplus.
Ooh, they're swapping.
But yeah, no, I love both.
Sexy.
And if there's anything that this podcast knows about me, it's that I have room in my heart.
Aw.
So there's that.
That's true.
Yeah.
God, I'm trying to think if there was any other, like, you said, like, making a motor, like, a kit thing like that. Like, mm-hmm. I wish I had gotten more STEM-related stuff growing up. Like, more STEM kits and things like that. Yeah. And it's not even that I didn't get some of those, but they were always like the $5 bin stuff, which is an experiment that may or may not go properly if you follow the instructions perfectly. you don't learn a lot from maybe this will work. Like, yeah.
Downhill is the wind at your back. It may grow crystals.
Right, exactly.
Might.
I think electricity is where I really wish I had had more fun playing with circuit board stuff.
My daughter, my daughter has a robot.
Yeah.
Like, she got one of these kits where there's a little robot and you program it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's what you do is you put together a program, and it's a basic program, and like each, what you do is you put little tiles into a grid, and the robot drives over it and reads the program, and then you put it on a on a board, and it runs the program. So it'll be like each tile will be like, go forward one space, go forward one space, turn left, you know, open your arms, go forward one space, close your arms, like, and then you've got to plot out where it's moving and stuff like that, and then you put it on the grid and it runs the program and it moves around. And
that's so cool.
Yeah, and it really is good at slowly ramping them up, because when you start getting into things like turn left and then go forward, you know, for a kid, you know, that way's forward, you know.
Right.
And now it's like,
so
when you
the way that you're facing.
Exactly. And then when you turn and things go forward, it's like, why is it, you know, and but it's really good at slowly introducing those concepts. But yeah, so she's basically doing basic programming of a robot. I wish I had that.
When I was her age, maybe a little bit older, second grade, logo writer.
Apple
IIe.
That was very much so the.
I remember
the
that.
Go to 10, go to turn.
There was a feature.
There was a. You could replace what the thing looked like.
Yep.
But yeah, little logo writer. So it's like logo writer, but 1,000 times better because it's a robot.
Because it's a little robot that you put on the table and he drives around and plays songs and picks things up. He's so cute. And he's a little
logo writer in 3D.
And he's a little sandwich.
There's a like a board game toy. So when I was little, I had a toy that was Mech Gears. So I got to put together all kinds of different motorized gear things. And that was before I had Lego Technics. It was simple enough that I couldn't hurt myself.
Okay.
And
so
yet
I got
found
to
a way.
I got to try all kinds of different stuff, and I, you know, it was amazing. They make something like that now that has lever styled logic gates, like AND, NOR, X AND, X NOR, NAND, NOR, kind of stuff. And you put these little lever things onto pegs, like Parcheesi is not the right word. Plinko or Pachinko is the word. It's got the pegs and the marble drop through it. Yeah. And so you drop the marble through it, and it activates the gates, which activate things for the next marble, and you try to figure out logically where things are going to go. That's so cool.
Yeah.
But the thing from my childhood that I never got, that I always wanted, Crossfire. And I think it was 100% how cool the ads were, because it had a kid in a denim vest. It was clearly it had been a denim jacket, but sleeves had been torn off by mighty forces. And he
Is
was
that
so
the
cool.
Marble shooting game?
Yes.
Where you've got the little shapes that you try to shoot into the other
person's
goal?
Yeah, you have the targets. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so, and you're trying to also defend your goal by shooting them when they're
shooting theirs at yours. Yeah, because it was like one star-shaped one and one triangle-shaped one little pucks that you had to shoot into the other person's goal.
Yeah.
My cousin had that?
I believe my brother and I had that growing up.
Oh, man.
It might be something very similar, but I'm pretty sure it was Crossfire.
Hey, James.
Yeah.
Steve can correct me. But...
Hey, James. Yes, also.
You're an adult. You can buy this now.
I am. I have no idea how expensive that would be to get a functional Crossfire.
Go find out.
From the 1980s.
Go find out.
Yeah, I could. I could. Yeah.
I mean, they might have. They've done a lot of retro stuff over the years. Like, it's possible.
That's true.
Like, 5-10 years ago, they did a retro Crossfire, and you could get that. I know it wouldn't be the one from the 80s, but, you know, it would be accessible.
But, I mean, Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
My friend Bear.
That we got.
My friend Bear
built
Crossfire in Halo. There's a mode where you can build your own arena.
Oh, yeah.
And he built Crossfire. He, like, built the big circle and then the goals, and you used warthog guns to shoot targets and knock them into the other person's goal while they're trying to desperately to defend against that happening. Yeah. Yeah.
Crossfire is available at Target for $25.
Boom.
I don't have anybody to play against right now. No.
Like, oh,
Bryn,
my God.
I'm hearing a lot of excuses why not to do it, even after you said you wanted to do it.
Right?
I do.
And I'm looking at the...
I do want
I don't it. Think it was... I think it was Dark Tower that Steve and I had.
Oh, yeah. Dark Tower is amazing.
We have a little shooty disc. We may have also had Crossfire.
But. I think Dark Tower was the one with the electronic castle in the center, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah. But,
I don't know. I know we had something where we were shooting something and shooty, shooty, shoot. So.
I just don't. I don't know that they make cool shit like that for kids because you can do it virtually.
I think they don't make cool shit like that for kids anymore because parents got tired of picking up the little pieces and stepping on them in the middle of the night and started bitching about it. Also, like, choking hazards or something? I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, who cares about physics anymore?
Well, there's that.
Anyway, hey,
listeners should tell us what childhood things
exactly.
They...
What would you want? You know, or have what would
tell
do
us
you
about,
have?
Tell us about your childhood dreams.
Yep. What childhood dreams, wants, desires, things that you didn't have but wanted? You know, your weenie whistle that you didn't have as a kid that you want either want now or movie reference. Sorry, Jenna.
Okay.
I get it.
Yeah, it was from the movie. It was from the Santa Claus, where the stepfather doesn't believe in Santa because there was an Oscar Mayer wiener whistle that he wanted as a kid, and Santa didn't bring it to him. And then at the very end of the movie, when it's revealed that he's actually Santa, he gets the wiener whistle.
I've gone to bachelorette parties, so a wiener whistle.
It's a different
thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing.
Okay.
The difference is whether it has a head or a bun, really.
Oh,
dear
right,
listeners, let us know. let us know. You already know the question, so let us know. We're going to take a break.
Is the hot dog a whistle or a sandwich?
Oh, my God.
And we'll be back. James may or may not survive the break.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
You noticed it that time, right, James? You noticed the leg?
What?
And I'm Jenna.
There was like 5 minutes between what I said and what you said.
Oh my god. Yeah. No,
that For me, it was instantaneous. Like, Jesus. I didn't let him finish saying Salsa before I launched Lord. Into it.
Okay, well, because, that just...
So this time it's the...
Okay.
This time it's the internet lag and not me.
James.
I mean, I still blame you.
Yes.
I'm not going to blame the internet. Fair.
I mean, you do you. I'm still going to blame James.
That's fair.
I very specifically blame Salt's internet.
I'm going to blame anybody that's not me. Is really what it comes down to.
Also so. Fair.
As long as the blaming happens while we do a Fast Five.
Fast Five!
God damn it. don't do that.
That was God. Just... That was...
Fast Five! Fuck. Never mind.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Jenna!
Yay!
Yay, Jenna!
Yeah.
I know her.
I does anybody really know me?
Ooh. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know you.
Yeah. All right.
Anyone who attended your fringe show.
That's an aspect of me, but that's not all of me. Anyway, question number one. There it is. Monopoly or Risk?
Monopoly is shit. Risk.
They're both... see, like, Risk is... It's good. It's good, but it's not... Like, they are both designed to make you stop loving your friends.
Mm-hmm.
These are both, like, traditionally games that... that break up friendships.
Yes, but Risk
and that
at least
take
have
all
fun doing
day.
It.
I think Salsa has fun doing it. I have had fun playing Risk. I have also not had fun playing Risk, and it has a lot to do with who you play with. Both in terms of like if they're just too good, then it sucks. But also if they are any level of skill and they're just whiny about every roll, like they just decide that the dice are against them. No. It becomes an exercise in frustration and upsetness.
I actually have been trying to get a game of Axis and Allies together for a long time, and so compared to that, Risk is nothing.
That's fair.
Sure.
Like, yes, both are long and both are frustrating, but Risk has good mechanics, and Monopoly is shit.
Monopoly is designed to show that capitalism, unalloyed capitalism, is not a functional system.
Nope.
That is the whole point of the game.
And nobody gets that.
But,
to be fair, very few people play with the actual Monopoly rules.
Also true.
Like...
Also fair.
So
there was a thread where somebody said that they started playing Monopoly with two D20s instead of D6s, because then you just like you whip around the board, you get money faster. It seems more randomized, and it's just fucking nuts. There are no longer like. Strong properties to build together because
right.
The chance that anybody is going to land on one is so small.
Well, having a block of three in a row when you only have a movement of six is a barrier.
Makes a lot of sense.
When you can
zip
past it without looking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
One of the house rules that I saw that really interested me and actually kind of makes me want to play Monopoly is that anytime you collect on a hotel, or on a house, you pay a percentage to the utilities.
Interesting.
Because obviously if someone stays at your hotel, they're using the shower. They're, you know, that kind of thing, which I think is fucking great. That's a fantastic plan. There's no other reason to buy the utilities other than just a safe place to land right now. Yeah.
So, James,
I don't know.
James Monopoly.
I would be more likely to play Monopoly because it's kind of mindless. I love Risk, but it is definitely a game that warrants a lot more upsetness, I think.
Okay.
Because you're actively choosing to antagonize someone. That's why. Sorry.
But we actively choose to antagonize you and Sol all the time.
Mm-hmm. I'm aware.
Okay.
I suck at Risk, too. What's your point?
I adore you. I'm going with Monopoly. Question number two. Pac-Man or Galaga?
Fuck.
Pac-Man.
If it was Space Invaders and not Galaga, I would go with Space Invaders.
But it's not.
I played a lot more Pac-Man than I did Galaga, but I fucking love Galaga. I am more likely to get to stage, like, 5 in Galaga than I am in Pac-Man. Pac-Man's motherfucking hard.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry.
Pac-Man had little guns.
Okay. So what was your response? What was your choice?
James, I've seen the box art. Pac-Man's got guns.
Thank you, Salsa. I'm going to go with Pac-Man because I played more Pac-Man than Galaga.
I'm going with Pac-Man. Question number three.
Yeah, no, you got me on that one.
Salsa.
You got me on that one.
All right. Guess Who or Connect Four?
Fuck.
Connect
Guess
Four.
Who. Yeah. I love the strategy of Connect Four, and I enjoy playing it. I'm more likely to play it now. But in my childhood, I discovered that my sister and I had some kind of weird psychic link-up because I could cheat at Guess Who.
Mm.
Were they wearing glasses and you could look at their reflection?
No. No, it was never a looking at a reflection thing. Like, eyes closed. She would have only two people left up because the rule was that, like, you could guess, but if you were wrong, you lost. That was the house rule.
I thought it was three guesses, but house rule. Okay, sorry.
She would get it down to a certain number at where, like, she's definitely going to get it this next turn. And I would just, like, sort of metal detector wave my hand over the board, and I would say, is it cloud? You know, is it whatever? You know, and she would go, oh, shit, it is. And she would show me her card and be like, well, I guess I win. And she'd be like, but you have like 12 people left up. You asked stupid questions. And I'd be like, yeah, but I got it right.
That's well, maybe if you wouldn't pick Cloud every single time we play this game.
Right, that would have made it so much harder. Yeah. Yeah, I would just get a feeling for who her person was.
Her Pearson was?
So
her Pearson. Perfectly normal American Pearson.
Yes.
Okay, what were your answers?
I chose Guess Who.
I went with Pac-Man.
No, this is Guess Who or Connect
Four. I also chose Connect Four.
I picked Connect Four.
I distinctly remember.
Sure. I'm honestly not sure, but I think Connect Four.
Mm-hmm.
Question number four. There we go.
Fool me once.
Operation or Perfection?
Which one was Perfection?
Perfection's the one that explodes if you don't put all the pieces in time.
Oh, Operation.
Operation?
Yeah,
okay.
Big surprise, right?
So it's two completely different, incredibly high-stress situations.
Yeah. One is speed, and one is slow and steady. And guess which one I picked?
Yeah. Slow and steady is also going to be my answer. I was a lot better at plucking the is out without touching the sides.
Okay, so you're both doing Operation?
Yes.
I am going Perfection.
That seems right. It's a. It has structure, it has deadlines, it has an objective.
Can't wait for you to get
it's got
there.
Rows and columns.
It does. God damn it. Even your games look like spreadsheets.
Yep.
He's not right. Okay. And then question number five. Clue or Life?
Clue. Clue. Every time.
Clue.
Life, I feel like, is the large-scale version of Monopoly, where it's just like, hey, you're going to try to make a bunch of choices, and they're not going to matter. You're going to end up wherever you fucking end up based on the turn of this wheel, which is a capricious god. You're going to watch all of your friends succeed where you have failed.
The
particularly.
The only choice you really have is at the beginning whether to go to college or not, really. Like, that's the choice. Everything else is
maybe.
Kind of whatever.
I thought there were more choices than that, but...
Pretty true to my life.
Well,
I really
fair.
Didn't feel like I had a lot of control and everything was just happening at me for quite a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not saying that it's inaccurate.
Right. No. Sometimes it's not fun to play games that are too close to reality. You both said Clue?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Life.
Yeah. Okay.
It is. All right. I do prefer Life cereal to Clue cereal.
Also, I'm sure that there's a movie called Life, and I will tell you right now that Clue is a better movie.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, Tim Curry. Shut up.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready for the context?
If we must.
I am. And
all
we
right.
must.
Question number one, Monopoly or Risk?
Mm-hmm.
Which game was too frustrating to finish?
Monopoly.
Yes.
Yep.
Don't think I've ever finished a Monopoly game.
I'm not entirely certain I've ever finished either, but I was definitely more frustrated by Monopoly.
Yeah. I think what always happened to me with Risk, and I've played a countable number of times, like a dozen times. What always happened in almost every circumstance is that out of the three people playing, because I can only ever get three people to play, out of the three fucking people playing, that one of them gets wiped out, and then one of the two players just has a massive imbalance. Like, it's one has this enormous army spreading all over Europe, including whatever. And it's just like, I can try to chip away at that shit, but I've got three people in the North American continent and then a smattering of disconnected places across two other continents. Mm-hmm. I'm 100% going to get smeared across. If there was a king on the board that I could tip over, I fucking would. Because that's just...
The thing is that you take Russia and then you're good.
Yeah, well, 7 extra men at the beginning. You just can't fucking hold it.
What's your strategy? I'm just going to keep letting people die until winter is basically my strategy. Question number 2, Pac-Man or Galaga. Uh-huh. Which game do you have your earliest memories playing?
Pac-Man.
Which one do you remember playing at the younger stage?
Not real Pac-Man. Knockoff Pac-Man. It was the Texas Instruments TI cartridge of Pac-Man called Munch Man.
Oh my
god!
But
it's Pac-Man. Yep.
Oh my god! Did you drink Mountain Chill with it?
My parents would never have let me have that much sugar at that age.
Oh god!
Okay. Which is correct. They were not wrong.
Because James has no chill.
Oh.
Also true.
All right. Question number 3. Guess Who or Connect 4, James. Which did you play more with your siblings growing up?
Yep. Well, we played a lot of both, but Guess Who was the one I remember. And Guess what? Who and Stratego.
Stratego. Instead. Mm-hmm. No, I remember playing both with Steve a lot, and I think we played Connect 4 more just because it was easier to set up.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Also, I feel like we may have broken or lost pieces to Guess Who.
It's very easy to do that.
like,
well, he doesn't have glasses now!
If you lose a piece to Connect 4, you're probably not getting to that point anyway, so it kind of doesn't matter, but like,
yeah.
You lose one of the little guys in Guess Who, and you're just kind of fucked.
Yeah. More often, the cards, the deck of cards that you dealt out to decide who was which person, more often, one of those would get bent or something, or lost.
Distinct.
And if it gets
mark.
Bent, that's worse. Yeah, because then you're like, well, you're Ronaldo, and they're like, fuck off.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're just marking your own cards at that point.
Right.
All right. Question number 4. Operation or Perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Which game caused you the most childhood anxiety?
Operation.
The other one.
Perfection.
Perfection. Because Operation was zen. It was zen. Whereas Perfection was manic and too fast. I didn't like it.
Yeah, in I like establishing timelines. I don't actually like. I always get a little bit of anxiety trying to stick to a timeline and trying to make sure that everything gets done within. And it's like, I mean, it's my own form of skydiving, which is fine because I get paid a lot of money to do my own form of skydiving. But like, you know, there is like kind of this stressful rush thing trying to make sure that everything gets done on time and all the pieces are in place by the time they need to be put in place. Perfection is probably why I went into project management. You're correct. But it did cause the most anxiety. Any kind of timed game. I don't really like timed games now. The bomb game where you have to describe to somebody else how to
keep talking and nobody explodes.
Yeah.
I love it.
I very much enjoy that game.
I played that once and then I noped right the fuck out of ever playing it again. I was just like, not my game.
Most of my friends were doing over the phone technical support and one of them stopped playing it because they were like, guys, this is just work, the video game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Oh.
All right. And then question number 5, Clue or Life. Which do you more often tell people to get one of? Get a clue or get a life?
I honestly don't remember the last time I've said either of those things.
I almost never say that to someone, either of those. I think
Which would you be more likely?
Probably Clue.
I mean, I tell Joe to get a life all the time, so I feel like that's kind of cheating, but...
I think I probably have said get a life more.
That's kind of where I'm leaning to. Like, I'm pretty sure it's life.
I think, yeah. I think
I don't say either one very often either, but it fit the theme or twisted
yeah,
the theme.
It was so great.
Thank you.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, I think I would say get a clue. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That was it.
Awesome. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should contain nothing but the choices and any color that you want to give it. And then the second one should repeat those choices and then give us the context and any other color you want to supply. Color being metaphorical for, you know, more information and or stories or things like that. Mm. I really need to fucking spell this out for Mav is really what I'm saying here.
I love how many caveats you have to put on something to try to prevent Mav from fucking with you. It's like he's already preemptively fucked with you.
Yeah.
And I love it. I delight.
Oh, yeah. He's sitting there with a shit-eating grin on his face going, I didn't even have to do anything.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, Matt. Text in the mail.
Who's got a shout-out? Nobody? Okay.
I do.
Okay, James.
I do. Nobody necessarily stopped to help today, other than Bryn. But I would like to commend people who, even in this super difficult time when we want to avoid each other, who find safe ways to stop and help others. It's nice.
Yeah.
Jenna?
I would like to give a shout out for climate control features, air conditioning, heating, anything that allows you to just control your living space temperature wise. Cause I was thinking about that earlier today as I was trudging through streets trying to locate my car. And I was like, I'm so glad I have just a place I can go to that is the temperature I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, my shout out is to indoor climate control.
Legitimate.
Hmm.
All right. I'm going to give my shout out to mobility. I didn't say this on the podcast. I mentioned this just, to the dynamic duo here. I messed up my neck, last week, and I still don't have full range of motion, in my neck. And so it's real nice having that when you've got it.
Yeah.
Because when you go almost a week not being able to, you know, look all the way to the left, for example, it's really frustrating. Or being able to, like, every time I, like, pull my hair out of my face or into a ponytail, that hurts my neck. So it sucks.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. Anyway.
Yeah.
Who's got something to plug?
I do.
James.
Yes, go for it.
Coming up in the near future, dates to be determined, but probably within the next week or two, we are going to be paying off the Give to the Max Day campaign for Dungeon Drawlers by doing a small, slightly horror-themed, spooky role-playing game led by one Eric Thompson. Curse the French.
Nice.
Curse the French. Yeah, more details to come on that.
I have a thing on Thursday, game night with a ranger that we have talked about in the past. This coming Thursday is my night to be one of the star panelists. James, how you did the one a couple weeks ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how was that?
It was fucking very fun.
Awesome.
It was extremely fun, and it was family friendly, and it was educational and hilarious.
Awesome. So there you have it, folks. You should tune into that and see me do that sort of thing. Jenna? No.
I'm boring.
Yep.
I'm gonna say go follow us on Facebook and follow Fearless Comedy Productions on Facebook. Why not?
Cool.
That's a plug, right? It's not an event,
yep.
But
yeah. No, that's reasonable.
Fair enough.
Just gonna start finding random things for people to do. Not mine, but have a thing.
Sure. Any final thoughts?
I would like to say bye, love you, bye.
All right. With that, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you so very much to everybody for listening to this podcast. Thank you, Jenna, for the Fast Five. On behalf Yay. Of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.